creative, a good communicator, speaks from the heart. He will challenge and encourage us, I know from God's word. May God bless you. Would you come and share with us, brother?
Stan, thank you. I don't know who you are talking about. You mentioned a guy with all that stuff, and I don't know that guy at all. It was very interesting to hear that the best will be the ice cream tonight. Well, see me with the vanilla, you know, and the cone and all that kind of stuff. I'm the ice cream tonight, I hope. I am going to talk tonight about freedom, as we call to freedom, in Galatians 5, verse 1. Now, Stan read these scripture verses to us. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Galatians 5 verse 1, it is is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul was writing in Galatians. In Galatians 5, he was an upset man. In his missionary journeys, he went to Galatia, and you will see Galatia up there, and he started quite a number of congregations. And as he was starting the congregations, he taught them, Jesus is the way, the life, and the all. And then shortly after that, some of the guys came in there after he left, and they started to teach other stuff. Paul was teaching faith alone. They were teaching faith plus keeping the law. They said, why, if Christians are free from the law, they will live wicked lives? So they need the law to keep them within the bounds. So, no, it's not just Jesus Christ. You have to have something extra to keep people in line. And Paul said, there's no such thing. Good works is not the condition of salvation. It is just the fruit of your salvation. Very interesting that in so many churches in the US and in Canada, people are so busy with all kinds of extras that they put to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you belong to such a church, go to a church rather that is teaching Jesus Christ and salvation in Jesus Christ and sanctification after that to live in Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul was saying, he was saying, we died to the law. You have to lead a life of holiness by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 1, he is then saying, it is for freedom. Christ has set you free. The law is binding you back. Don't do that. Don't go that way. There is always something in the heart of people who want to earn salvation and contribute something to it. Though we are called to be free. Wherever I'm coming, and it's so nice to not be in ministry. Not that I'm saying it is bad to be in ministry, but to see life from the other side. And working with people who are hurting emotionally and see what kind of habits they invented and what kind of habits they are falling into, and most of them sinful habits. Now, the sinful habits that we are getting into are sometimes we are enslaved by stuff. You're saying to me, I'm not a slave of anything. Sure? You know that the big screen in your rec room? We become so easily enslaved by that. You say, but that doesn't have anything to do with my Christianity. Sometimes it does. Because the messages that you get through that is not always in line with what the Bible is asking us. There are so many people full of guilt. They are slaves of guilt because they did not forgive a person, because they are living a life constantly mad at people around them because Dad did something to him or her and never forgiven that. And the whole life is full of all that unforgiveness, guilt, and shame, and everything that is going on. You know, we are called to be free. We are called to freedom. But my problem is that this guilt is binding us down. More so, fear. I cannot tell you how many people I'm seeing with anxiety. There are people sitting here with anxiety. To stand up here I can remember as a young preacher, the first time I walked up, I was trembling inside of me. And every time I'm sharing the word, there is a trembling inside of me. But it's not getting me in total, because I know that God is bigger than me, and God can speak. Though I am weak, He can speak. But let me come back to fear. What I do want to say is there are so many people around us, or perhaps you might be one of them, that's enslaved by fear. And you are saying, yeah, but there were a lot of stuff that happened that made me fearful, anxious. Yes, I know. But we became slaves of fear. And we are called to be free. Jesus called us to freedom. Romans 7 is saying, I'm a wretched man. I'm so full of sin. What can set me free? Only Jesus Christ. Galatians 5, don't be burdened. Be burdened by a yoke of slavery. We are called to freedom. And then Paul is saying, no, no, don't be burdened by this yoke of slavery. All of these things that are binding you back. No, 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 I don't want you to go there. What he is actually saying then is, how does that happen? What am I to do? Well, 2 Peter 2 verse 19, for a man is a slave to whatever he has mastered him. What mastered you? Just asking. If anything is controlling you, you are the slave of that thing. anything that you put ahead of God, your job, sport, TV, food, gossip, people's opinions, popularity. And you ask me, so Nico, why do you put religion in there? Can I tell you that I don't believe in religion anymore? So quickly take me off from this place. I don't believe in religion anymore. I believe in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We put so many extras to Jesus Christ. I'm working with a woman. I've been referred to me by an employment assistance program. She was given 3 months to live. She has lung cancer. Came to me and she said, I'm dying. I have a lot of back pain because of the lung cancer and all of these things. The third session I had with her, now I'm busy preparing with her at the funeral. I am busy preparing with her letters to her family and all that kind of stuff. And I'm asking her, is there anybody that she has a problem with that she wants to get, you know, things straightened out with? Yeah. She knows I'm a Christian, and she asked me, she said, Nico, so where am I going when I'm dying? I said, I cannot answer your question for you out straight. If you allow me to talk about the Bible, I can. Because it's only the Bible that's giving me the answers. She said to me, okay, I give you the permission, you can talk. I shared with her the gospel. I shared with her what happens to you. And she said to me, I had a problem. I developed a problem over years. I did not want to go to church. I said, why? She said, because people are saying you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and then you can go to heaven. I said to her, nonsense. Only one thing you have to do, and that is to accept Jesus Christ's love into your life and give your life to Him. After that, out of thankfulness, you can live for the Lord. Religious practices. You have to, and then you can. We are called to freedom in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Anything plus Christ, I'm sorry. Anything that you put ahead of God can become your slave. The Lord does not want all of those things. You know, and I left four little dots there. You can fill in your thing that enslaved you, probably. And by mentioning a few of them, I don't want to say, yeah, it's just this. No, there might be a lot of things that you might put ahead of God. Now, bad habits, sinful habits, they prevent freedom. Sinful things that we are doing, the things that we do that enslave us, they prevent our freedom. They prevent you from God's will for life. You know, it's like a bed. A very comfortable bed. It's easy to get into it. But, oh man, that next morning, It's so difficult to get out of it. Am I the only one that battles with that? No? Stan?
No.
I have to say, a comfortable bed, it's easy to get into it. It's not that easy to get out of it. And that is precisely what sinful habits sometimes are doing to us. It's easy to get into that kind of habit. It's so difficult to get out of it. Well, habit starts with conscious decisions that we make. It starts there. It's very, very interesting. When I'm working with clients with trauma, and do a clinical therapy that changed their brain completely and get the trauma actually out of their brains, they still continue acting the same way. And then people are saying to me, oh, the therapy was not successful. No, it was. But we are so conditioned in our learned behavior that we keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over because we are used to, when there's a trigger, we are going back into that learned behavior. Sinful habits, precisely the same. When I give it to the Lord and I say, Lord, please help me to get out of it, I have to make a conscious decision, as I did when I started with this habit, with this way of living. Now I have to make a conscious decision to get out of it. And I have to learn to get out of these kind of sinful stuff. Sinful habits break your will to fight for good. They train elephants by chaining them. And then, after so many months, they take the chains off. And that elephant is good. And a thin little wire or rope around the foot, and later on, no wire, became so conditioned that he is chained down, that he is sticking to it. That is precisely what happens to us when we are sometimes bound down by sinful habits. Later on, there are no chains anymore. We just keep doing it. We keep going on. My will to fight is gone. Habits is stronger than I thought. And then once you are in it, you can't conquer it anymore. A fourth thing about sinful habits that is curbing my freedom in Jesus Christ, it might ruin your life. I want to tell you a story about this guy and his son. They had a donkey and they traveled through a few small towns. They come to the first town and the donkey was walking behind them, and the little boy was very tired, and the people around the road said, oh, but you are so bad to let your little kid walk. You have to let the kid be on the donkey. Okay, put the kid on the donkey, and there they go. Went to the second little town, and the people said, yeah, but you know, you can be on the donkey yourself. And the two of you can go. Yeah, okay. And he jumped on the donkey himself, he and his kid, and there they go. Well, in the third town, when they got in there, the people said, shame on you. Look at the donkey. The donkey is, you know, is so tired. You better carry the donkey. We are so enslaved of the opinions of what people are saying about us, what they think about us, that it can ruin your life. It can become your boss. It can take over in your life. But in the meantime, Galatians 5 verse 1 is saying that we are called to freedom. You say that sinful habits prevent you your freedom, prevent you from God's will for life and break your will to fight for the good and might ruin your life. Now, practically, in real life, what can I do? You know, I normally, as a kid, I was listening to the pastors, and then I said, yeah, it's nice. They teach the gospel. But tell me what to do with the gospel. Tell me what do I do in real life, in real situations, for real? And I thought, well, if I ask that, I'm asking myself that, and let's get to it. First thing is that we have to admit I'm not free. God called me to freedom. I'm a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord. I'm not free. There are lots of stuff that's enslaving me. I have to admit and say, you know what? Nico told us the other day about this stuff that can enslave you. Perhaps I have to work on this one habit that is taking my freedom away. I have to admit to it. The second thing is throw yourself in God's hands. Say to him, God, you know me. You know my personality. You know who I am. You love me. I am throwing myself into your hands. Will you please help me? And then it's so important that you go to somebody that you can trust. James 5:16 is saying, call the elders, trustworthy people. Repent your sins. Pray for each other so that you can be healed. Go to somebody that you can trust that can help you with whatever is busy binding you down. Talk to somebody that can help you. And then, how do you eat an elephant? Piece by piece. Break sin in small pieces and conquer a piece by piece by piece. And go from there. And now, when you did that, please fill the void you have with something good, not another bad or sinful habit that can take away your freedom. Just a few things that you can do. And it's a constant process to let go and keep your freedom. As a Christian, we constantly, as a child of God, we constantly have to let go and hold on to the freedom in Jesus Christ. Jesus has set us free for freedom. Christ's redeeming work, and this is going to go a little bit into the theology of Galatians 5 verse 1, and stay with me, and if you get confused, put up your hand and say to me, I don't understand anymore, and I will help you. I hope. There are enough pastors to help me out if I am going astray. Christ's redeeming work, he redeemed you by dying on the cross. He said, I died for you. Just believe in me. We were called from slavery to freedom. John 8:32, the truth will set you free, and if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You are freed from the requirements of the law. Now, here is a very, very important thing that you have to grab. If you look at the tiger, Why is it behind bars? A tiger should be in nature, isn't it? Why is a tiger behind bars? I'm asking. He will eat you, Dottie. He will. It is part of his nature. If he is seeing a living thing move, he will go for you and he will eat you up. It is part of his nature. What are we doing? We put that tiger behind bars. The bars actually prevent him from eating you. Now, a tiger's nature is dangerous. So we have to put it in a cage. But if the tiger's nature can change, will bars still be needed? Joseph, what do you think? If the tiger is not going to attack anymore, are bars still needed?
No.
Galatians 5 verse 1 is saying, when we are not a Christian, we are like a tiger. We need the bars of the law. But the moment our nature changes, we don't need the bars of the law anymore. Because our nature changed. Because Christ set us free to be free indeed. Galatians 5 verse 1, Paul was saying, you are not free to break the law. And then he is saying, wait a bit, you are justified in your relationship with God by believing in Jesus Christ. You are justified. So your nature changed. So justification, Jesus' death and his resurrection justified you. You have to grab onto that justification so you are freed from sin, but you are not freed to sin. That is the major difference. Free from condemnation of the law, not break the law. Go back to the tiger. When your nature changed, that bars are not needed anymore. Why are you putting bars around you then still? It's like the cross over two streams. On the one side, legalism. Legalism is to be right with God with rules and regulations. And on the other side, libertinism, it is use Christ's atonement as a license for sin, to do sin. Now I'm free. Now I can sin. I'm going to heaven now, so I can go on. I can sin as much as I want to. No. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, our freedom in Christ is not to be used as a reason or a justification for sin. Yes, we are sinning. And we constantly have to repent that. But we cannot justify it anymore. So, Paul is saying, don't use your freedom to sin. In faith, made right with Christ by grace. In faith, grabbing onto what Jesus did for you is helping you to have that freedom. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2 verse 11. It is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And our belief in Jesus Christ, that He died for your sin, that you have called to be free. And when you grabbed on the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, like this woman that I helped that will die in a few months. There's another story to it. But we prayed for her, and now suddenly she has 2 years, according to the doctors. I don't know. God, we are called to freedom. All I can say is, and I said it to her, and I'm saying it to you, if you grabbed onto the cross of Jesus Christ, your nature changed. You are like a tiger whose nature changed. You don't need bars anymore. You will be tame. Grace, free through the cross, justified by Jesus. Nothing you can do to be free but to accept Jesus. We think, I have to jump through all these hoops. You just have to accept Him. There's nothing that you can do. Gratitude is the gratitude that I have for what He did is to stand firm in my freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. That is what I can do. I'm freed from sin, not free to sin. What are we free to do? Enjoy a relationship with God. God's love is unconditional. And what I'm going to show you now might shock some of you, but that's good. There's nothing you can do for Jesus to love you more. There's nothing you can do for Jesus to love you less. Yep, but wait a bit. If I sin, did Jesus stop to love you? No. Is He going to love you less? No. Because His love for you is complete. And what He is asking from you is just to give all you have, your life. God's love is unconditional. What He is asking from us, what are we free to do? To be obedient. Obedience leads to to godliness. Our salvation is in Christ, not your obedience. Your sanctification is in your obedience. To come closer and closer, I am obedient to what He was asking me to do, and I am growing more and more and more in sanctification. The third thing is to serve our neighbors. Very, very interesting. A mark of freedom is service, serving others. Now, I have an announcement to make here in the middle of the sermon. If you call this a sermon, I don't know, but whatever, the talk, call to freedom. We are going to go on a short-term outreach next year, just after the convention. We want to serve because we are called to freedom. And we are going to do the outreach in the Czech Republic. We don't know if it's going to be in Teplice or where, but the Baptist Union is going to tell us the end of July where. But we are going to go, and the board approved that this morning. And yeah, we are going to serve our neighbor. We are going to serve a congregation in the Czech Republic. The year after that, perhaps in Slovakia. But the mark of freedom is to serve, to help other people. It's part of what we are free to do. What are we freed from? From self-indulgence, from sinful nature. And instead of our sinful nature, we fill it with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 22. The power of sin is changed by the fruit of the Spirit. Now, good works is not a condition of salvation, but is a fruit of salvation. How do you get the air out of a glass? Suck it out? Well, if you put a suction system on a glass, the glass will implode. But you get the air out by pour water in. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, there's no place for sin to come and take more and more and more of you. Because the emptiness, I don't have to suck a sin out here and suck a sin out there and suck a sin out of there. I can fill it with the fruit of the Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. There's no place for sin to live in my system anymore. The freedom we are called into does not lead to a license. It leads to a mature responsibility, holiness before God through the Holy Spirit. What are we freed from? Sinful nature, power of sin, from our past. And here I have to say that when I spiritually give my life to the Lord, what is in the past and all the bad things that you have done, many people still are so enslaved by guilt about the bad things that they have done, and God is saying, I cut it, done. Now, the future ahead. Look forward. But you know what? I'm working with so many people that's emotionally so enslaved by their pasts. I have to help them to heal from their pasts emotionally. Spiritually, it's clean. They are from you sitting here. Somebody just today told me, oh, emotionally I'm still suffering. Yes. We have to get help. James 5:16. We have to get help from somebody trustworthy to help us to get through. I know a pastor saying to me, I'm reading the Bible to a person and I pray for that person and that person is healed. Strangely enough, 3 months later, that same person comes to me and say, help. I say, okay, how can I help you? Yeah, the pastor prayed for me and now I'm feeling so guilty, I should be okay now. The whole point is, spiritually, it's cleaned out. But there are emotional garbage sometimes in our systems that has to be cleaned out. And God gave some people some gifts and talents that can help you to get all of that stuff out of your system. So I do want to say, we are freed from our past, spiritually for sure. We need some help, it seems, emotionally as well. And don't feel guilty when you have emotional garbage still in your system after you became a child of God. There are people that can help you with that emotional drama that's going on in your life. Well, the fourth thing fear of the future. We are freed from that. You know what? We are looking again financially with Greece, and then we are looking at the investments and all these kind of stuff. Oh my goodness, is my retirement fund going to keep up and all that kind of stuff? Your life is not happily in the hands of Greece. Your life and your retirement fund is happily not in the hands of the International Monetary Fund. It's in the hand of God. Just trust. It might go through difficult times, but fear of future is like, you know, we sometimes want to be so free. I'm talking to lots of young people, and they say to me, I don't want anything to bind me anymore. That's why some of them, if you have tattoos, I'm not against you at all. Some of them have tattoos. I had a client, she just put a tattoo on here. Be free to be you. I said to her, ew, that tattoo is shouting at me. She said, it's supposed to. I said, okay. She said, I want to be free of all regulations and laws and all that kind of stuff. I said, oh, okay. Tell me more. You know what? We want to be so free. And the young people, some of the young people and some older people, they want to be so free. They want to be so democratic. They want to, it's my democratic right to do what I'm doing. Okay, it is. But we want to be so free that that freedom is catching up on us. There was this one guy, he said, I want to be totally free. I'm going to do parachute jumping. Uh-oh. Okay, so if you jump out of a working airplane, and then, oh, it's a freedom feeling. And I said, and then? Well, then I'm pulling the, whatchamacallit, and the parachute will go open, and I'm under this parachute. I said, you're not free. Because the lines are still binding you to the parachute. You're not free. You see, freedom is a very interesting thing. Freedom has boundaries to keep us safe. I'll never forget when I was a young student, I had to make a speech on freedom in Afrikaans. And when I said, you think you are free, and just as you think you are free, you're not free anymore. Because freedom has boundaries to keep us safe. And that is the whole purpose of the law of Jesus, of the word, is to keep us safe in within the boundaries. The Son, Jesus Christ, shall set you free, and you will be free indeed. We are free from all of these things. But we are not free to be autonomous, to do our own thing and to be disobedient and to sin. We are freed from love and concern for others. No, we are not. We are free. Our justification is through the cross of Jesus Christ. We are freed from the requirements of the law, but we are required to obey the law for sanctification, which means that I go closer and closer and closer to the Lord. It's like the parachute. I'm free, but that parachute is keeping me safe. Galatians 5 verse 1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. What a wretched man I am who will rescue me from this body of death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You are called to freedom. Let us pray. Lord, we do want to thank you for the fact that you died for us on the cross, that you freed us, and that we can be free indeed. Help us in our everyday life to live through the Holy Spirit and to live for you with our eyes on you. You called us to freedom, not to slavery. Please help us, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.